basement. The first floor is a boy, so I'll rob. Don't wanna make it to the top too quickly. Twizzle, I take step to step all the time. Take a look at the flow of the future. If you can't shake to it, then it don't suit ya. Break off, back off, before I bust off. Bad is the worst, it's all bad luck. Bad this, bad that, who's bad enough? For those who are bad, then batter up. I'm pointing the crack with my index. Who wouldn't come off with a rag and some index? I'm stepping the step, try to meet me there. I'm avoiding all political fanfare. If you're down, take a pound and poke your fist up. For the sound of the nature of a sister. Who's a king, who's a queen, who's trying to bang? I see myself as a queen, but it ain't for rank. This for all, not one, not for income, but for knowing who and where we descend from. I can't cope with a joke, I come crazy new. They call me Mama Zulu, but I won't baby you. I'm not the type to look for a man with cash, but the only thing you get if you broke the cash. Stop this, then switch, what floor is this? I go higher than a fire, try to diss. This is a little of my head of a top style. Ripping tracks, whipping, infected that rhyme. Right on, slow, a few floors ago. I see sweets instead of concrete. So, if you're down, take a pound and put your fist up. For the sound of the nature of a sister. You got close, now get back. I got an army busting through the enemy's wall. My thoughts on the situation is fuck them all. Thought and back, or said it was time to throw. So me and Slim get them in, now time to go. Yo, grab them, he said, hey,
this is WRCT Pittsburgh. The hour is 11 o'clock at night, and you're listening to Loveline or Sex Talk, and the topic for today is defiling the inner sanctum.
Because tonight's topic is a little beyond our usual transgressions, our guest today is protected by electronic defiling of her voice. What's the guest?
The guest is, how shall I put it, a reformed necrophiliac. She once practiced necrophilia, and now she doesn't, but we'll get to that story soon. I want to introduce the people in the audience, or rather, the people in the studio. Let them introduce themselves.
I am DJ Necromonicon.
And my name is Juan.
Chris.
Jordan.
Dr. De La Morgue. And our guest for tonight is...
My name is Shannon. And I'm the necrophiliac in question, I suppose.
So, Dr. Necromicon, can you start us off?
Well, Shannon, the first thing I want to know is can you tell our viewers what it means to be a necrophiliac, or what it means to you to be a necrophile?
What it means to me is, and when it first began with me, I was young and hadn't had sexual intercourse yet, so it was sexual exploration, and to me it is just making love to a body that is deceased.
A dead body, is that right?
Yes, a person who is, really just a new corpse, in other words. I don't want to give the impression that it's something older than that doesn't mean anything to me, and I don't think it means to deface the body. It's sort of a goodbye.
I should clarify to our listeners that necrophilia is, as far as I understand it, not legal in Pennsylvania or any of the other 49 states except California. So don't try this at home. And WRCT does not endorse any form of sexual contact with the dead. But so Shannon, can you tell us how? Now you said that you prefer fresh, recently deceased bodies rather than older ones. Why is that?
Well, obviously, I don't want them to be decrepit or something like that. It's very difficult to do or to live out the fantasy anyway. It's not something you can do with a body that's already been put into a grave.
I think the listeners are probably very interested in knowing how this all started, in terms of how you discovered this within yourself.
Well, I was 17, and I was about to go to school, and I worked in a mortuary for my uncle in the town I grew up in. I was going to study biology. And going away to college, I was saving up money to go to school, working at the mortuary.
Now, what was your job in the mortuary?
I just helped out. So occasionally even driving the hearse, but most of the time it was hair and makeup and running errands.
So hair and makeup. So did you have actual contact with the recently deceased bodies?
Yes, I was very curious about the process in general.
Interesting. So did you go? You went through the. I don't even know what the steps are, but I assume. The cremation, I guess in cremation it wouldn't be any use to you.
No.
But, you know, when they drain the blood, what's that called?
Embalming process.
So you went through the embalming, the dressing up in the suit, the laying out in the coffin?
All of it. I was very curious about the entire process.
Now, was that a sexual curiosity or a technical curiosity?
No, that was a genuine curiosity about, What does it take in order to prepare a body for death? And death in general is another interest. Of course, I think you would have to have an interest in death in order to have an interest in necrophilia.
Did you find that anybody else you worked with? Did you ever talk with some of your coworkers about some of these issues?
I think all morticians have they have to touch the body, so you can't have a fear of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that. I don't think necessarily that means that you wish
to... That's fascination.
Right. Or experiment at all sexually. But I think that you have to be comfortable with that. And I think that the sexual exploration was just as much curiosity about sex as it was about seeing a dead body, complaining. That is a fear as well, you know. But never having sexual intercourse before, it was sort of taking advantage of a way of looking at a body, especially both men and women, only seeing them in pictures, never seeing a live human being, which recently did, of course, but still that's the closest thing I'd ever come to in being actual contact. Yes.
So we actually had a caller already that wanted the question answered. He was wondering where your partners came from, since they couldn't come by themselves. Where did you get them? Where did you pick them up?
Well, I did work in a mortuary. That's the only contact I ever had. I never experimented or thought about
mortuary. I'm sorry if this has been talked about. I was out of the room.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
So never on a graveyard or?
No. I don't think that that's, I think that's just great. Well, not one to be judgmental, but that's not certainly the process that I would go about enjoying myself. I don't think I think once the body's prepared for burial, that's too late.
So I'd like to focus on your first necrophiliac experience, if you can go into more detail about how that came about.
Sure. So I when I was 17 and I first worked in my uncle's mortuary, a guy that I dated, he was actually the first kiss I ever had.
The first kiss you ever had?
Yeah.
No, this is a living person.
Living person.
Okay.
I dated him. He was on the cross-country team. And he and I went out for about 4 months. We weren't going out at the time that he died, but it was actually a year later. He was hit in my car, and he was laid out in the funeral home of my uncle.
So while still in high school, he was killed tragically, if I understand this correctly.
Yes, in a car accident.
Have you had sex with him while he was alive?
No, I never had sex before.
Did you want to?
Yes, I did. It's very curious, but not brave enough to act on it. And he was very shy himself. But just the beginnings of exploration, I think. You know, touching and feeling and holding hands and kissing. But other than that, we hadn't progressed any further. And we were good friends afterward. I think that we were more friends than we were. Having a relationship, so the friendship was, I don't know, just a lot more stronger than any sexual relationship could have been.
Well, still, that must have been a terrible shock to see him arrive. Did you first learn about the news of his death at the mortuary when you saw his corpse arrive? Or?
No, I didn't. Actually, I was told about it by a friend. And I was sort of shocked to see that he was brought there, and there were a number of mortuaries. And, you know, it wasn't a small town, it was a suburb, but there were four in the area, and he happened to be in ours.
How odd.
Yeah, it was sort of odd.
Strange coincidence. So, but he did come to your mortuary, and was it your job to prepare him? Or?
No, I licensed mortician should have to do that. I was not, but I was curious about it. I wanted to know about the process. And that is not the first person that I saw happen to. It was just the first person that I knew was going to be prepared for burial.
So what were your feelings when this was happening? Were you, I assume you were very sad to see your friend in this state.
I was sad, but I was also very curious.
Curious? Curious about what?
Curious about what he looked like naked.
Really?
Yes.
So there was kind of a, even in this very tragic period, there was kind of a sexual tension between the two of you.
Yes.
Wow. So did you act on these feelings, or how did you respond to this feeling of desire you had?
Well, I did go in later on, and after everyone had gone home, and just for another light, I hadn't actually acted on anything this time. This was just the first time I had looked at the body, sort of in a way that felt wrong because everyone had gone home. But I just wanted to see what it was like, not just it being naked, but what happened to him, and seeing the bruises. It was just as much a fascination with death as it was with sexuality. So it was more touching than it wasn't as though penetration happened. It was more looking and touching at the body.
You had made mention that it was a car accident, and you just talked about bruises. Was mm-hmm. I'm assuming there was no other disfiguration or
no. He died of internal bleeding. Yeah. I think his lung was punctured.
So you were curious to see him naked, and you were too shy to ask him when he was alive? Is the
yes.
shyness a little bit the root of your first necrophilic experience?
Yes, I think so, actually. My first sexual experience was actually, unless you constitute kissing and touching as your first sexual experience, sexual experience as in intercourse, was with a dead person rather than a live person. So, yes, it was the result of shyness.
So you said that the first time you saw the body, you did not act
no,
in your desire.
No, he was the first person I ever explored looking at as a corpse.
But that was a step to this later encounter.
Yes.
Just so I can put this in sort of temporal context, is this after he's been kind of gone through the mortuary process, he's been treated? Is this after the viewing, but before the funeral? Or, is he in his casket
already? No, this is before the viewing.
Oh, okay.
This is while this is right after the body is taken to the mortuary.
How long does that period usually last? I guess it isn't it different depending on different cultures oftentimes? Mm. Is it? I know certain cultures are very immediate, like rush to the wake and then to the burial. It's a very quick process, but I'm not sure if there was a standard time that you would have for the body.
Well, I think really the only thing that detains it from being delivered to a mortuary is what the family wants. So it is a religious belief. Mm. I think that they either hold it up for or all the process from it being delivered from the hospital or to some sort of mortuary or funeral home, or whether it's going to be cremated or sent, even some bodies are even sent to other countries for burial.
So he had just arrived, so the body was not embalmed yet, is that correct?
No, the body was
embalmed. Have you had experiences with bodies that were not?
No, never.
You find those distasteful?
No, it's just that it's more difficult because when embalmed, it's sounds a little bizarre, but it's actually more clean. It's difficult when the body has not been embalmed.
What sort of things happen when the body is not embalmed?
Blood comes out of areas of the body when they wouldn't when it's after it's been embalmed. The fluid is sort of, the blood is taken out and the embalming fluid replaces it.
I somehow imagine that blood would be part of the attraction, not understanding this particular sexual practice, but I guess it's not.
No, it's not.
Is that the case for some necrophiliacs?
I don't know. Actually, I've never spoken to anyone about the necrophilia. I have spoken to people about the fascination with viewing a dead body. It's sort of not, it's a little more easier to talk about actually viewing the body rather than talking about necrophilia.
I suppose necrophiliacs don't know what other necrophiliacs do. This is something that you cannot come out of the closet. This is totally...
No, you're not comfortable, at least. It's looked at as very dirty, I think. I don't think that it's certainly not acceptable. It's not an acceptable norm.
So going back to your first boyfriend or this first necrophiliac experience, just for a moment, did you... Once upon seeing his body, did you wish you had done more with him sexually when he was alive, or were you more aroused by his corpse?
That's difficult because I liked him genuinely as a friend, so I don't. That's confusing because I liked him, of course, alive, wished to interact and talk with. He was a very good friend. He was very funny and very smart. He, dead though, it was a fantasy, so you're choosing between fantasy and reality. So I don't know which would be... I didn't have a preference, but of course it enabled me later to look at him and at least appreciate him once more before he was gone forever. I sort of look at it when a body is placed into a coffin and buried, then that's where they're gone forever. It's sort of like their essence is still there when there's a physical presence, even though deceased, it's still there. I think that's what the process of or what the wake is for. So a family can say goodbye. You're not saying goodbye to a live human being, but you are saying goodbye to something that's physically there.
The question that has been coming to my mind since we started is, I don't understand the attraction. And I don't understand, if you're talking about the essence of the body, I don't understand why you appreciate or what parts of that essence are better when they're dead than when they're alive. Can you try, I know it's difficult, maybe you can be a little poetic about it, if you will.
Well, people have this misconception that there has to be penetration for sexual gratification, which isn't true, and the most sensitive part of a woman is the front area anyway, and that's what's needed to be stimulated.
Now, by the front area, you mean?
The clitoris.
I see. So you're talking about the actual sexual act with a corpse.
Yeah, and really that isn't all there is. There's other methods of sexual expression, you know, touching, even holding hands. The body is just lying there.
So I just find this very interesting and very strange because the corpse actually, you have to do all the work in some sense. I mean,
yes, that's true.
Why is this more satisfying or more interesting than having an inflatable doll or, an inanimate object?
Well, there's still the essence of life there. There's still a presence.
So there's some sort of spiritual aura that...
Yes, I think that's just as much to do with it as...
But why not a live person? What's...
Well, as I said before, that was these are my first encounters sexually. It's not as though I don't enjoy sex with a live person. It's actually how I think shyness and incredible shyness was what sparked my interest in doing incuriosity and looking at a corpse.
So you'd consider yourself bisexual in terms of the living dead sense? I mean, you enjoy having sex with living persons and with dead persons.
No, my curiosity has not gone away, but I have not acted on it since I have had sexual intercourse with a living human being.
So, how much time was there between your first curious look and when you had a sexual act?
I'd say it was 4 years.
This is with
a dead body.
With a dead body. A dead person, I think, more proper and tasteful.
A dead person.
It was 3 years, actually. 3 summers, to be exact. The summer before I left for school and the 2 summers following the beginning of my college career.
So can you go into some detail about that experience?
About the first time that I ever acted on it.
This wasn't your high school sweetheart, I assume. This was somebody else.
No, it wasn't. It was somebody else.
Oh, so you had not acted on the sweetheart, on this high school sweetheart?
No. I was confused. It was really just viewing of the body and mm-hmm. touching
it.
It's
more spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
So with this first encounter, this first sexual encounter, was that with someone you knew also, or was it a stranger?
No, it was a stranger.
Were you continuing to work at the same mortuary?
Yes.
Over summers to make money.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Okay, right, okay.
Exactly.
So can you tell us about that? And what motivated you to take the step to the next level?
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because it wasn't the first summer that I worked there. It was actually...
No, I meant what motivated you to take the next step from viewing and touching to a sexual encounter? Why the change?
With a person you didn't know also.
With a person you didn't know as well.
Well, I think because, as anything, it's a gradual process. You don't, on your, first introduction to anything, you don't jump in. I think you have to slowly become accustomed to it. It was frightening at first to see someone that I knew pass away, and lying there, I wasn't afraid, I wasn't crying. But at the same time, I was very, very, very curious, but not scared. I was just sad. But later on, it slowly after touching you, and you realize that some of the bodies don't. Not only do they not smell bad or look that bad, it's almost as though they're alive. They're just sleeping. So it's. It was just natural, I think a natural progression. So more and more I became comfortable being around them. It wasn't just that I would go in and touch them or molest them. It was more more important to me than that. It was sort of looking at the body and also preparing it. So it was affectionate, sort of making them look nice and realizing that they were going to be viewed by their family for the last time. So the more I interacted with them, the more comfortable I became, and the more curious I became sexually.
You keep talking, using words like curious and fascinated. I wonder if there's a sense of excitement, and also excitement in the wrongdoing at all? I mean, whether or not you perhaps believe it's wrong or not, there's the fact that it's not a commonly accepted way of behaving sexually. Is that entering your mind, or did that enter your mind in any of these situations? I don't want to get off the subject of this next person, but I'm thinking, in some of the words you're using, I'm wondering if the audience is relating to, and whether they would have questions as to. And I know, I mean, we have some literature here that we've been reading, and some things in that, talking about the excitement and the real dangers and this, that, and the other thing. Did you ever get a sense of that, or was it much more
breaking the taboo?
Was this part of the ethereal, wonderful, preparing of the bodies and whatever?
Well, that's true. It was spiritual, and it was also the thrill of looking and being around a body and being in my uncle's mortuary. So I guess thinking of of getting caught at the same time as breaking a taboo. That's also part of it. But more important than that, I think it was for the first time I was touching sexually. So it wasn't as though I was just breaking a taboo of touching a dead person. It was touching a person in general. So it was breaking my own my own fears and satisfying the curiosity of touching it was a human being, of course dead, but I don't think that people understand is that there's still a physical presence. It's not like a doll or some sort of sexual device. Seems so artificial. This was still real, although not living.
So I'm curious about this. So since it was a real person with real relationships, did you ever feel like you were cheating on someone? I mean, if you had sex with a person's husband, did you feel like you were violating the sanctity of that person's relationship?
I actually never wanted to. You couldn't help it, but realize that their family was going to be in later. I would never come in or look at the body while the family was around. Seeing them actually laid up in the coffin and awake was very unnatural. It seems much better looking at it and interacting with it while it was naked, being prepared.
Right,
I didn't want to learn anything about it. I didn't realize that if it were the husband of a father of a family.
But still, in a very real sense, you're having an affair with someone else's husband.
I suppose that's true, but that wasn't part of the mystique of it, certainly.
So you have had sex with dead people and alive people, and you have stopped having sex with dead people some time ago, you said?
Yes, yes.
I know sex with alive people. I don't know sex with dead people. To try to give me a glimpse of what having sex with dead people is, could you tell me something that you miss of dead people when you're with live people?
Well, I don't actually miss anything. That's why a natural progression was made, I think.
I see.
It wasn't ever the thrill of getting caught as much as it was exploring sexually and fascination with that.
So are you a reformed necrophiliac? Do you have no interest in going back and having a sexual contact with any future corpse?
Well, I still have dreams about it, but I haven't wanted to ever since a family member of mine died. And the thought of doing that, and, I don't know why. I still don't think that it's terribly wrong, but for some reason it just seemed unnatural then to me. I couldn't imagine someone doing this to the relative of mine who had passed away.
I think one of the things that, at least that we've seen on the show, that's really important is that, you know, we talk about these things that are, quote, deviant behaviors that are not necessarily accepted and also not all that accessible. I mean, this is certainly, you were in a really good position, obviously, to kind of have this opportunity of having bodies around and somewhat of a semi-private area. So I'm wondering, does this play or did this play and will it continue to play some role in your fantasy development during sex with live people? And has there ever been any mention to your live partners about this? Have you ever kind of come out, so to speak, about this and ever admitted this?
Come out of the coffin, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a whole new area. But I'd be fascinated to know if I mean, because it's certainly you couldn't see much harm being done in kind of a private fantasy or even some role playing done. And I'm wondering if that manifests itself in your current sex life.
Well, it is something that I was always interested in all of my life. I remember, I mean, I, feel a little worried bringing this up, but I don't want the wrong impression to be had. But even when pets of mine had died, I never believed that they'd really died and that it was horrible. I thought it was always that they were going to a very good place afterward. Not necessarily heaven, but that they weren't going to experience something awful after that. That their spirit lives. So,
so just a quick, you don't believe in pet hell, in other words.
No, I don't believe in pet hell.
Does anyone believe in pet hell?
But it's not as though that it would be incredibly hypocritical of me to say that it's completely wrong. And yes, I do still think about it. And since having a relationship with a live human being, I don't. I can't say that even that has made me stop thinking about it, but yes, there has actually been some role playing. I have never admitted it to someone that I've dated, but there is.
You mean your necrophilia?
My necrophilia. I have never, ever confessed that to anyone I've ever been in a relationship with.
So the person you're currently in a relationship with. You have? Did you say that you have or have not had death style games in your love play? Have you incorporated necrophiliac type elements into your sexual encounters, or is he totally unaware?
No, I don't think that that's something that anyone would think of. I think that it truly is that bizarre. There's not many people. Interested in this, but there is certainly a running joke between the two of us in role playing with sex.
Involving death, you mean?
A running joke involving death, and sort of a lot of times when my partner is sleeping, I get really turned on by that.
So you've sexually accosted him while he's sleeping, pretending that he's dead?
Well, it's a little hard being a woman sexually accosting him.
Well, I mean,
it's easier than
assaulting a dead body.
I mean,
it does in a way remind me of that. Actually, I think what's nice is that he's usually erect when he's sleeping.
Well, there you go.
So,
problem solved.
Climb on the tent.
Yeah, sort of. That's a good way of putting it.
There's an interesting thing here, too, actually, as a follow-up to some of our bondage conversations of previous shows, where we've really talked about kind of this dom and sub role-playing and these people who call themselves switches. And I guess one of my questions at this point would be, have you ever had a fantasy involving yourself being the body, being the dead?
No, interestingly enough,
it's always you in power.
It's always more of a dominant role than I like to take. Which is,
I wonder if there are any switch.
Necrophiliacs.
It's a hard thing to grasp, but I think
until we should be your next show.
You have to be very believing in resurrection.
Definitely. Yeah.
I think we should mention at this point, if you're a switch necrophiliac or any other kind of necrophiliac, please call us at the station 268.
Or if you have any questions regarding necrophilia that you would like to pose to Shannon. 621.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Miguel.
Juan. 621-9728 or 268-9728. Please do give us a call. We're just having a chat here in the dark. Be in the dark with us, please. So there are I got three different ideas of what necrophilia, of what you liked about, or how you had come to necrophilia. And all of them probably play a role. But one of them was that you started out being shy, and your approach to sex was through people who you wouldn't have to face. Another one was that you liked death. And there was something about death you liked, the essence of the human being, etc. And the other one was the dominant role. Which of those three do you think played a greater role in your attraction?
I think the greatest role in the attraction was overcoming the shyness and the fear. It was not having to go about it where I was actually talking with someone or ever experience embarrassment. It seemed natural to me to look at and admire the human body, and it was a way of getting over being afraid of what sex was. And
which is not very different from when we are teenagers and we look for those drunken girls or guys, depending on our orientation, that's for sure. We have a caller. Hello, caller, are you there?
No. Please do call back.
Maybe he just died, in which case we'll have to rush out and find out.
Bring him to the studio.
Please do call back at 621-9728 or 628-9728. We're sorry, whatever happened. I hope you didn't hang up. Thank you.
Well, I'm actually very curious. We've been talking about the spiritual and romantic aspects of necrophilia, but I don't actually understand the physical aspects of necrophilia. If you're there, you're a woman. I assume you're a heterosexual woman. Heterosexual necrophiliac, you're with a corpse. How do the mechanics of getting on with a dead guy work?
Take us step by step through the process.
Well, first of all, does it involve penetration usually for you, or did it when you were doing it?
No, it didn't.
Okay, okay, so because the first question that I had in mind then is not relevant anymore.
Okay.
It usually does not involve penetration.
Right, so erection is not crucial in any way.
That is a big problem.
So now we go back to your question, sir, which was?
Step by step. Take us there.
Okay. Well, usually the body, in order to be prepared for the embalming process, would be naked, covered with a sheet, and kept very cold. I usually would walk into the room and undress. It was almost as exciting for me just to lay there naked on top of the body.
Right, so you're naked, the corpse is naked, the corpse is cold, you're not cold.
No, I'm not cold.
I'm just trying to visualize this. Okay,
no,
keep going.
I'm 98.6. So I'm on top of the body.
So does that cold feeling, is that arousing to you, this very cold body next to you?
Yes. The only thing that scared me would be there was always blood, which was sort of sad, because you realize that sort of was a symbol of pain.
Well, and also blood is also a symbol of, I mean, in this day and age, you know, you don't know what the person died of. They might have been carrying a communicable disease. Were you ever worried about that?
Yes, but it certainly can't live outside the body for very long. So any sexually transmitted disease, including AIDS, as long as you're careful, I really believe that. But as I was saying, that wasn't really... I can't deny that I didn't try that, but that really wasn't what excited me about involvement with the dead body or sexual exploration with the dead body.
So you're there, you're in the room, the body's under the sheet, you're taking your clothes off,
you're both naked.
What's happening?
Well, it would always begin with touching, and... wasn't always that the man would be erect, so it was sort of...
Presumably not. I mean, he's dead, right? I mean,
but sometimes they actually are.
Oh, really? They die with an erection? I guess that's the best way to die.
Well, sometimes their arms also rise, right?
Oh, so this is just...
I never witnessed that.
Yeah, rigor mortis causes that kind of
die
stuff.
In all sorts of weird ways.
Yeah. Yes, but... It was the touching, and as I said before, in the...
So what would you touch? Where would you touch?
All over, especially...
And with what would you touch? Your hands?
My hands, my entire body laying on top, positioning in
Like in a sexual position?
Yes, exactly. And in both laying on top of the body and in 69.
Would you ever...
Oh, Lord.
Wow. That just totally sidetracked it. Would you ever actually have the other person... would you ever have them touching you? Would you ever use their limbs, like actually lift their hands up to caress you? Or was it very much...
No, just as in sex since... And with my boyfriend now, it's always been something that I enjoy doing to them rather than them to me.
So not even even any kind of... Okay.
No.
So you would actually do the 69 position, like give this corpse a blowjob? Is that what you're talking about?
If it were erect.
If it were erect, you would.
So otherwise, that did not work.
But I understand that you can position corpses, you can raise their arms and so on. Can you give a corpse an erection who doesn't already have one? Is that possible?
No.
I see.
No.
So, but if they had one, for some reason, you would take advantage of that.
I don't see this taking advantage.
Well, I mean, you would have that would be an opportunity.
Well,
I mean, isn't there some way to sort of push the blood into the penis to make it more erect, or am I just...
Well, it's not really...
been embalmed.
It's not really blood. You're
well, the embalming fluid, whatever.
Sure, sure. There's it's essential to massage the body in order to get it in a workable...
configuration.
It's difficult to explain with... I don't want it to sound... nearly as garish as it might sound to you, or as you know.
Cool.
It's not like that. It's certainly
well, what
more
is it like?
It sounds very loving and spiritual to me.
So how long a period, like a duration of time, are we talking about here in terms of from start to finish, from disrobing to... And perhaps where do you decide to stop?
When it's thrilling for the moment that I have a walk-in and take my clothes.
Do you achieve an orgasm, typically?
Yes.
Does your partner?
So how long would it take, typically, or average, or whatever?
About half an hour. Actually, I tried to keep it less than that so that it was I wouldn't get caught.
Right.
Have you ever been
so caught? The time was... no, there was once when I came close to it, I could hear someone about to enter, and I had to grab my clothes and pretend as though I were doing work.
Interesting.
But, and it was actually my uncle, so I had to be very, very careful. I certainly didn't want my family to know.
Well, your family better than the police. Or actually, is this illegal? Did you talk about this?
Yeah, I believe.
I think it is, yes, in the state of... or at least the state of Pennsylvania, I think it is.
So, well, I mean, as far as you know, your uncle may share these interests. I mean, it's interesting to me that these necrophiliacs, are there any national organizations for necrophiliacs to get together and talk about their feelings, or are you all isolated?
There are actually chat groups about it. There is.
You mean on the internet?
Yes. There are ways to talk about it, certainly. There's even information out there on the web.
Really, on the web?
Yeah.
Are these anonymous chats, or, I mean, aren't people worried about the police getting them, or...
Well, there are seemingly chat groups about just about it. Every sort of sexual fantasy, I don't think that
they could be based
worried about
abroad.
Speaking is different than...
than acting, certainly.
I'm actually sort of curious, this is a little bit of an... maybe this question is a little bit out there, but you were talking about the sort of spiritual aspects of interacting with the dead, and I'm wondering if you ever had a spiritual encounter. Have you ever seen something paranormal happen with a dead body? Did you see its ghost? Did you ever made love to a ghost, for example? Have you ever seen any kind of, have you ever had any contact with a dead person that would transcend the physical realm?
Well, you make that sound really good, but no. I've never had any experience such as that, but it is just being in the room, the first couple of times with the body, it made me feel very frightened. I thought, you know, just that, which is a very popular misconception. It's just, it is very eerie and sad, but when they're dead and you see the embalming process, you realize no one can withstand that sort of pain and that.
So are you a spiritual person? Do you believe these people have gone on to heaven or some sort of better extraterrestrial life?
Yes. Yes, I do. I'm not sure where that is. I don't necessarily.
So they, if that is true, do you envision them knowing what has happened to their body, their soul once traveled?
And do you think they approve? How do you think they feel about this final sexual encounter that they've had with you before going into their grave?
Well, I hope that they like it.
Imagine the party you'll have when you get there.
You're going to have a lot of friends.
No, I don't. I certainly don't think it's an evil thing. I don't harm the body or treat it with any disrespect. At least I don't consider it disrespect.
So, do you think that people who might feel what you feel when you had sex with that person, do you think some of them with those same feelings could be desperate enough or enjoy it enough to go out there and actually produce dead bodies, actually kill somebody? Could Jeffrey Dahmer, was his name, be a necrophiliac?
I believe Jeffrey Dahmer was a necrophiliac.
But his love of dead bodies could come from any number of other problems.
But he also believed in dismembering them and doing things that I think are cruel. And no, I certainly don't agree with the methods that he used.
No more than anybody who likes sex can be a rapist.
Right. Exactly.
So you
certainly don't encourage it.
You would not deliberately kill someone just to have sex with their corpse.
No. I think that's very sad. I remember a female friend of mine, was very disturbed and had slit her wrists once. And I remember thinking how this contradicted my belief of a dead person and enjoying looking at them, but thinking to myself how sad it was that she was in this mental state and hoping that she did not. It was very confusing, contradictory, the feelings, you know, thinking what she wanted to do was wrong, but also admiring, you know, the physical form of, and it's right before it's buried.
There's an interesting element to that. When we talk about suicide, we also talk about in terms of how some of the people you've encountered have died.
Mm-hmm.
And even back to this high school encounter. I would assume you would have run into many elderly as opposed to only, I mean, we're talking about sex with the dead, and certainly not all people are certainly up there and probably not considered very physically attractive, let alone sexually attractive, in their dying years. And did you run into this? Did you have how much and you know, how could you have been selective?
That's a very good question. I guess it could be considered sort of being choosy, but mm-hmm. I didn't mean it like that. But yes, most of the people were, you know, elderly men and women, and no, that was never the attraction, never something I ever acted on. It was also sad. There were many, many people who this could not happen with because their bodies would be too, you know, mangled from whatever, or the process in which they died, or too decrepit already.
Mm.
So, no, it was, I was a little selective at least. It was young men.
Did you ask, or did you need to know how the people had died, your partners had died?
Well, I, not just for this purpose, but for the work, working in my uncle's mortuary, I had to read the paper and keep up with these things. It was more important that, it was just something that I didn't have to keep up with. It was pretty well known what they died of, and it was interesting what one of the said. People who died, he was a young man who died from a disease, and I did not feel comfortable actually acting on on this fantasy with him.
That's what
it was sort of. It was sort of. You had to be a little bit scrutinizing of how you acted and with him.
I mean, it seems like that's what I would be worried about. The only reason young people die is either in, you know, a terrible accident or some chronic disease, or they have AIDS or some serious disease.
Well, it's usually it was more tragic. It was some sort of accident, exactly, or usually of a lot of car accidents. Always seem to be involved some drinking or some sort of reckless behavior, I think.
So I guess what's interesting too is that, I mean, one of the things you'd mentioned too was the kind of process of beautifying of the body and making the body, you know, turning the body into something. I know at least my experience with open casket funerals perhaps is that oftentimes, you know, there are people who have been either disfigured or are really old or have had some kind of really kind of awful disease or something, you know, you can actually turn the body into something almost like an image of what this person was 5-10 years ago with makeup, with hair, with just kind of replenishing the body. And I've definitely witnessed this with one of my relatives who had been dying for about 6 or 7 years, and in the casket they looked wonderful. I mean, it looked so young and so, you know, new. So I guess would you say that perhaps some of the cosmetic elements of your work definitely played into kind of this choosiness?
Yes,
you were able to perhaps.
Does embalming rejuvenate the consistency of the flesh though, as well as the appearance?
I think that it does not appear or feel to the touch the same as living, of course, much colder, much more firm. No, it's
much more firm.
Much more firm.
Oh, that's
throughout the entire body, because of the fluid. Plus, usually, the face is stuffed with some sort of padding so that you can keep it full. So that for exactly that's what you stated earlier, which was making the body look better, especially the elderly.
Mm.
It makes them look better.
Well, it's kind of that parting shot. I mean, you really get that. And I guess in part of the open casket funeral, at least, can kind of be that. That's one of the things that you remember, is just that last scene. And it's it can be very therapeutic if you've watched somebody.
Yes, kind of, that's very true, actually.
Kind of grow old. But anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. But
there must be somebody who's very curious to ask a question right now. This is a topic that doesn't usually get aired, and, well, you must be curious about it. We have time for one call. Please call 621-WRCT or 268-WRCT.
I'd actually have a question. In order to satisfy my need for statistics, how many dead people have you had an interaction with, would you say? We're talking a dozen, 10, 100?
No, I'd say over the 3 summers, about 2 dozen.
3 summer? You're not referring to threesomes with multiple corpses, are you?
No. Oh. No, I mean the 3 summers that summers. I worked at my summer. Uncle's mortuary.
Were there ever any repeat visits to the same body?
No.
Mm-hmm. No, so they were always one time. One night stands, as it were.
As it were, yes.
Can never really develop a relationship.
Well, was that unsatisfying? I mean, I think if you had an especially attractive encounter with someone, you'd want to repeat it. You've never gone to a grave and digged up
No.
a particularly enticing person?
No, never. never. And it was never. It was never about a repeat performance. It was always about.
Well, part of the excitement you said before was that it was the parting shot. It was your last goodbye, in a way.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it was in the area in which I grew up, so I didn't know most of the people that I had experience with. That was part of the attraction, was knowing them in real life and not being able to act on it or to get up the courage in which to do so.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think my plea for a call actually succeeded. Maybe they will not hang up before I say hello.
Do we have a caller?
Do we have a caller?
Yeah. Hello?
Hello. What is your name?
My name's Judd.
Hello. Judd?
Yeah. Okay. My question is would these corpses, would they involve, they're erect with...
I'm sorry? Can you repeat? If you're listening to the radio, please turn the radio down and listen to the phone. Hello, are you still there? Well, if you're still there, feel free to interrupt. We will continue here.
I think you do something like, if you embalm the body, does it become erect?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's what you said too. I don't think that the embalming fluid alone would make it erect. Sometimes it was already, but by massaging or sort of moving the fluid toward the area, it would certainly make it more erect.
And I would assume that for women, I'm wondering, you had mentioned these chat groups and these other internet sources of people discussing stuff. I mean, do you ever hear the male perspective of being with the female body in terms of their things that...
That seems a lot easier, actually.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of how most people would probably picture it. But
yes.
Does that make up a bulk of the population?
I think it's actually more the norm, if you can say that, but more men act on this than
women. It's the inflatable woman kind of syndrome. Yes. So I believe we have a caller back, or maybe a new one. Hello?
Excuse me?
Yeah, hello.
Yes.
Are you the same one from before?
No, I am not. I'm the next one.
Hello. And the next one, do you have a comment or a question?
Yes, I would like to ask the lady if she's a beautiful lady, or why she feels the need to... make love, or she calls it making love, or having sex with the corpses.
Did you hear that, Shannon?
Yeah.
The question was, are you a good-looking lady, and if yes, why do you resort to having sex with dead bodies? Did I transmit that correctly?
Yeah, yes, you did.
I don't know. I don't know what to say about that.
Well, I think she's a good-looking woman.
I think you can say that.
Dead or alive, I'd be attracted to Shannon. Share that with our viewers.
Well, thank you very much.
So how can you? I guess maybe the caller should explain why he thinks that having sex with dead people is, in a way, an act of desperation. We've lost another caller. And I keep hearing a delay on the line. Their radio must be up.
Well.
Oh, well. And we go into the night. We have 2 minutes left. I think it's time to say goodbye. Would you like to say anything else, Shannon?
No, just that I don't... I want to express that I don't think it's... It certainly wasn't an act of harming the body. It was more an appreciation. And I don't... recommend or wish to promote this at all, but, and encourage anyone to do it for any other reason than I started out doing it because it was being painfully shy, and this was a way of sexual exploration, but it certainly wasn't to desecrate or disgrace the body or the family.
So in a sense, you were desperate in some sense. Having no actual living human partners, you turned to the dead.
interrupt for a second? I don't like to say it's an act of desperation, but rather one of painfully being shy.
And who knows? Maybe many of us, by chance, end up experiencing sexual events that we would have never tried without some prompting, and we ended up enjoying them.
Oh, that's what happened with you and me, Juan.
Yeah, in the annals, or the annals of science, or annals, how do you pronounce that word?
Annals, in this case.
It's not important one.
No, I,
And who?
That's a vicious rumor.
And who knows, you know, once we're gone, who will be our final?
Who will defile me?
It
seems like you should tape a note to your body just to
can't you
describe
request,
your preferences.
Like, I would rather Antonio Banderas or something.
Pick your mortuary carefully.
Well, thank you very much, Shannon, for being here tonight with us. It was very courageous of you to come out, even of the coughing, I suppose, even with the electronic defiling. Would anybody else like something before we get lost into the airwaves at night?
I'd just like to say I'm impressed. You've made it almost seem like necrophilia is reasonable. I didn't think it was possible.
Okay. Perhaps it is.
You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh. This has been Loveline or Sex Talk. Thank you for listening. Good night.
The first floor's a force, so I'll rise. Don't wanna make it to the top too quickly, so I take step to step for the time. Take a look at the flow of the future. If you can't shake to it, then it don't suit ya. Break off, back off, before I bust off. Bad is the worst, so I'm bad luck. Bad this, bad that, who's bad enough? For those who are bad, then batter up. I'm pointing to scrap with my index. Who couldn't come off with a rag and some index? I'm stepping to step, try to meet me there. I'm avoiding all political fanfare.
You've been listening to WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM. We now conclude our broadcast day. WRCT is owned and operated by the Carnegie Mellon Student Government Corporation under licensed authority of the Federal Communications Commission in order to serve the public interest. WRCT broadcasts at the assigned frequency of 88.3 MHz with an effective radiated power of 1,750 watts. Our transmitter and directional antenna are located atop Warner Hall, 5000 Forbes Avenue. Comments about our programming can be sent to our business office, which along with our studio is located at 5020 Forbes Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA 15213. WRCT wishes you a pleasant day.